So in those days, the way my grandma explained the way that everyone knew one another, so because I also lived in South Freer when my kids were little, Gran and I, and, you know, we'd put one of the kids in the pram or whatever and we'd just go walk around the block. And Gran could tell me every person who lived in every house on every street in South Freo. So it was a really small community and everybody knew one another. In fact, I remember walking around, we walked around and Gran said, oh, yes, you know, so-and-so lived here and they married their cousin that lived next door. And I was like, Gran, you can't marry cousin. And she was like, oh, everyone married their cousins in those days. Like, Jesus, Gran. My name is Bo Wong. I grew up around Fremantle. So my grandmother, Mary, she was betrothed prior to World War II. Somebody asked her to marry him, and she thought that seeing as she'd been asked, that she'd say yes. They used to go to these dances, which were the big thing of the time. And then he went to war and he came back, unfortunately, with serious, I mean, you know, you sort of hear all the kind of hero war stories, and that wasn't the case for Wally. He came back and had severe, what we'd call now PTSD, but was then called war nerves. My grandma didn't want to back out of the deal because I guess she just didn't know how to. So she married him. It was a very troubled relationship because he became increasingly delusional as the years went by. So she married Wally, became Mary Bickley. She moved across the road in a rented house with Wally, and they had their children there. And most girls left school at 14, went to the factory and basically waited until someone asked them to marry them, which is really what my grandmother did too. And that was a very normal course for a lot of girls in South Freo. Anyway, my mum went to school with, in her class, there were 13 Marias, and she called it the 13 Marias, and it's, and her name was Maureen, so she was the only non-Italian in her class, being Catholic and being in Fremantle. It's just that's what was happening at the time. So my mum would have left school at 14, which was the same age that her brothers left school, that her mum left school, and that was the age that she was going to be leaving. And to be fair, that was considered enough school. I mean, there was no sense that anybody would do anything further than that because it just wasn't something that had ever been done by any member of any generation on either side of the family. By that stage, my grandma had left her husband, and at that time you couldn't really get divorced. There was no single parents' pension. She worked as a cleaner at the Fremantle Hospital. Anyway, a woman who lived down the street on Atfield Street and who had seen, obviously, my grandma grow up her whole childhood and then seen her marry, have children, and, you know, it's a small community at that point. Everyone knows one another. And she saw that my mum was getting to the age where she was about to leave school and, you know, basically work until she got married. And I think it was clear that my mum was a very bright spark and that, but that wasn't going to be a possibility for her to continue school. So this woman offered my grandmother the money. So this woman was what my gran called a spinster, you know, basically women who didn't get married. I kind of like the term spinster, actually. It's got a real sort of, I don't know, like a bit of swag, you know. You can just imagine a spinster, you know, with swagger cruising down Atfield Street. And she offered to pay for my mum to, so basically all of her fees and all of her books and anything that my grandmother needed so that my mum could finish school. So my mum, after having had this helping hand to finish school, having gotten a scholarship to go to UWA, she really believed in what she called enlightenment through education, because she could see that her life, she knew what her life could have looked like, and then she could see what her life really looked like with having had this university degree. And my great aunt, Dorothy, she was also what you'd call a spinster, which we now, you know, given that what my grandma said, she'd always wear slacks and she travelled with other women. So now we would just say that she was a lesbian and she, you know, she lived this amazing, she did so much travel and she was really generous toward her niece, my mum, and really saw that potential. So my mum, over the years, worked in roles that were absolutely about changing the status of women. Her whole life was dedicated to equal opportunity for women. Basically, she was an activist against sexism specifically, but also the reality of, you know, she had married, come from that wharfy family and married a Chinese man. And that was pretty whacked out in the day. Nobody knew what we, you know, when my brother, who's the eldest in our family, was born, my grandma said to my mum, but is he going to be one of them or is he going to be one of us? Like, what is it going to be? You know, there was no sense of what a mixed race child might look like or be, or, you know, people just had no sense of it. And that was already pretty out there. So she worked in politics. We moved over to Canberra. She headed an equal opportunity commission there. And then when we moved back to Western Australia, by that time her and my dad had split, and she took a role at what is now Curtin. And she became the first equal opportunity officer for that university and for any university here, even right through until the end of her life. So my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer in her 40s, and then which became secondary cancer, and she passed away in her 50s. Even the time while she was on chemo and all of, you know, she was absolutely, you know, she was still working as part of Curtin, mentoring, and after she passed away, a foundation was set up in her name. And so there's a bursary for a woman to finish their degree if they're in any kind of hardship. So say if they're a single parent, then it might pay for something like childcare, you know, whatever that woman needs. So in that sense, when I sort of loop back to the story of the woman down the road offering to pay for her to finish school, my mum paid that back for the rest of her life. You know, for our family, she was a game changer. I mean, she married, A, she finished school. B, she married a Chinese man. Then she divorced that man. And then she partnered with a woman. And then, so my family had never had, well, that they knew of. There's been plenty of gay women in my family. But the first person to actively have a partner who's coming to Christmas, and they were a real power couple, those two. Yeah, you know, my family had to sort of really get their head around it, you know. My grandma in particular was very difficult for her. She often didn't understand. She'd say, look, your mum, you know, she loves that university. She loves all this learning. She just wants to learn. I'd say, yeah, great. I mean, you know, you know, like she just found it so strange, my mum's passion for learning. And my grandma just, you know, for someone who's grown up with a very simple life, yeah, they didn't really see eye to eye, my mum and grandma, in a lot of ways. And in a sense, growing up with that story, my brother and my sister and I have always understood the obligation of our privilege. not that much changed in terms of not being able to afford to live in South Frio, in that I still can't afford to live in South Frio. But I have a caravan parked there and I'm like, fuck it, that's enough. That'll do.